to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This episode is The Broadcast Turns 60. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. I just realized that I didn't actually do sound checks before we did this, so hope this is okay.
Yeah, right. How are we sounding?
I don't know. You guys look good.
Well, duh.
That's very true. I was thinking about that in the shower today, actually. This was this is a true story. I was thinking, I was like, man, it's so nice to, you know, do a podcast and like chill with the girls where I don't have to put makeup on and my hair can always be, you know, wet and unbrushed. And it's really nice to just have that, an outlet of sorts.
Good. I'm glad.
Whatever.
I'm very happy to provide that, but that's like my life all the time.
Yeah.
It was zero fucks.
Yeah, I wear makeup because I like it, damn it.
That's right.
Because I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Although now that I have all these allergies, it really has toned back my makeup routine, which I think is probably a good thing. Yeah. I mean, not that I was like a crazy face full of makeup to begin with, but I've definitely like, I used to do like more like eyeshadow and stuff, and I really don't do that so much anymore. And, you know, I feel like that's also part of aging. I feel like eyeshadow is a young girl's makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that today as I was walking home from work, about how, like, when the time comes, I'm, like, very much just planning on aging gracefully and embracing all the things.
Yes. Although my grandmother, who was also a redhead, warned me. She was like, red hair doesn't gray very well.
Mm.
It gets really like brassy and yellow, and then it just kind of gets this weird, stupid color. So she's like, just dye your hair through that point. She's like, it's not fun. So she's like, just dye, just make sure you dye your hair until it's completely gone white or gray or whatever it's doing.
Good advice.
Interesting.
But yeah.
It's like
yeah.
Everyone dyes their hair to try to look like redheads, and then redheads have to dye their hair
to maintain their redheads. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I've always said it that as soon as I can, I'm totally getting the weird lobster eye underneath my eye taken care of, whether it's a shot or it's, I don't know, cutting it out or whatever. I hate it.
Cutting it out.
Oh, I hope it's not cutting it out.
I don't think it's cutting it out. I'm just saying.
That's your face, man.
I'm just saying. I think it's just a shot. I've looked into it, but I'm not playing, all right? I'm not here to have one eye look like I'm 70 and the other eye look like I'm 35, so.
Okay.
It's genetic. It's totally genetic. Not every woman in my family has it, but many of the people, my cousins on Facebook, like even ones that are like second, third, fourth cousins, like my mom's cousins that I see, I'm like, oh, you have the bags too. What are you doing for it? So
why do you call it lobster eye?
Oh, because it really started with like the eczema, but it gets like super red and like dry and scaly looking. And I don't know, Jay and I have always just referred to it as my lobster eye. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
You know, one of the best like little fixes for that is just glasses.
No.
That's true. That's sad. But you have your glasses are real thick.
They are.
I have to pay to get
the special thin lenses so they don't like blind people with the glare, and they're still thick.
Yeah, they're real thick. I have never seen a pair of glasses as thick as yours.
Yeah.
Okay, well, never mind.
So look at this coaster for reference.
Yes.
They're not much thinner than that.
They're not. You'll see them when you come visit Shandy in May.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, which I will.
One of these days I'll wear my glasses.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I've been wearing glasses for like the last 5 or so years-ish. And I had this moment where I realized like, I didn't like even realize like how part of my face had changed. As just like with the normal aging process, because now I'm like, I usually have something in front of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've been wearing glasses since the Sears optical eye exams were a thing in 1992.
A long time. The little kids with glasses are the cutest.
I don't know. Have you seen pictures of me with glasses? I was a rough looking child.
Yeah, but I think that's what makes like little kids like with glasses cute, that they are a little like.
Yeah.
Like sad puppy dog.
I had, and I still have them, and I will bring them back from my parents' house. We're driving to New York next week, and I'll bring them back. One of my early pairs of glasses looked like Barb's glasses from Stranger Things.
Nice.
There's a chance they were the same ones.
Yeah. They called your parents up. They're like, hey, heard you have some really great, like, 80s glasses. We're going to need them for the show.
Yeah. And I thought they were so cool because, you know, they're kind of like that see-through plastic. They're not really like the clear plastic. And I was just like, they blend with my face. And, you know, I was in third grade. And then they didn't.
Yeah, there's no hiding those suckers.
No, there wasn't. But, yeah. Anyways, What else is going on tomorrow or today or yesterday or last week or whenever you're listening to this is Friday the 13th.
Oh, wow. Tomorrow is Friday the 13th. I don't know why that didn't dawn on me until you just said it.
Yeah, it's in October.
Yeah.
Which is always exciting. It's also 10/13, which is a holiday in X-File land since that's Fox Mulder's birthday. And Chris Carter's birthday, and the production company was 10/13 Productions. I'm pretty sure last year we recorded around 10/13, and I made the exact same comment, so I'll stop.
It's okay. I didn't remember it.
Fantastic.
Like new information to me.
I will be sure to absolutely mention it again next year, because let's be honest, I probably will. But yeah, I have nothing really going on in life right now. We went to California this past weekend. We went to the desert. The desert fucking kills me, like, physically every time. But I had a blast. I got more earrings from the Rose Bowl Flea Market. I bought 6 pairs of earrings for $10.
Nice.
Which was exciting. Hung out with Jay's family. It was really fun. Ate some In-N-Out. And, I don't know. Got chapped lips because the desert dries me out. I don't poop when I'm there. I drink so much water. And for some reason, I'm still dehydrated. Like, I still had that dehydrated feeling. I had 2 Nalgene bottles today between the hours of 9 and 4:30. And
that's good.
Peed all day, and I still feel like I'm kind of dehydrated. So, I don't know. The desert just it doesn't agree with me.
Although I do hear my also pregnant friend was saying that, like, pregnant ladies dehydrate really easy. So that might be part of it, too.
They do. Oh. But last year when I was in the desert, it was the same weekend. It was when I came back with the cough that I still have a year later.
Yes, right.
Which I probably should get looked at some point.
That might not be a bad idea.
You know, I've
allergists are fun.
I've been on the Claritin for so long now that I don't know what took so long, but I finally just said fuck it and I get like the generic one now.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know. I don't know what took me so long, but I don't even bother with that fancy stuff. But I don't know.
It's the power of branding, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's expensive. Like, allergy medicine's expensive. So, yeah.
Because you need it.
And the over-counter stuff is the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you need it. So they know that you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It's that or not being able to breathe.
Right. And you find the Claritin's been working for you the whole time.
Yeah. So I've had periods where it has cleared up. What it cleared up around Christmas time last year or sometime in December, and then it came back sporadically. Usually it was just probably 2 packs of Claritin, but now since the middle of the summer, I think I'm on my 4th or 5th pack. And I talked to my doctor about it in my last checkup, so what, 3 weeks ago? And I was like, are you sure this isn't harmful? Because I know that back in June when I asked about it, you guys said Claritin was fine, but I'm pretty sure you didn't expect me to be consistently taking Claritin for quality of life, you know, since then. And she was like, yeah, it's fine. And I was like, should I get tested for something?
Like, right. Well, I'm surprised they didn't refer you to an allergist. Or like, even like my allergist was saying that sometimes it's good to change them up because each one has like different types of antihistamines and like,
yes,
you know, the same way as like how like Advil can build up in your system. Like,
I have noticed that even though the active ingredients are the same in all of them, the one that works the longest is actual Claritin. That will last for me about 30 to 36 hours. But with the generic ones, the Target one's okay. It lasts maybe 25 or 26 hours. And I had to, when we were out in California, I had to buy the Ralph's, which is like their like grocery store kind of there. I had to buy the Ralph's version, and that one is barely lasting 23 hours for me.
Well, what about like Flonase? Like I do just Flonase now, and then I'll take like a antihistamine as I need it.
As you need it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's meant for sort of long-term use, the Flonase, because it's a steroid.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I can take steroids right now.
Oh, true. Good point.
Might be
worth asking your doctor for when you are able to take them again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to stick for now with like the Target one. Super boring. If anybody has any suggestions on why I am continually needing some kind of antihistamine for so long, if you're a doctor or have similar issues, I would actually really love to know. And I just correspond with me, please. I want to know what's going on and why nobody takes it seriously. Then again, I go in and I don't make a big deal of it too, which is probably another reason.
I take it seriously.
Thanks.
I understand now. I get it.
Yeah, but I don't get all puffy and swollen like you. I just
constant cough. That's annoying too.
Yeah.
But you can just kind of be in public and not scare small children.
That's very true. But you guys remember the cough. And Amanda, you heard the cough that night we had the all hands meeting.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah. And that's now you know why Jay like has actively sought other rooms to sleep in on nights that I haven't had the Claritin.
Right.
So very supportive. So anyway, what is going on with everybody else? Anything fun and exciting?
Well, I went to Seattle.
Yes, tell us about that.
It was awesome. I met a baby.
I met a baby. And this baby was a baby.
I was visiting some old friends, and it was just like, it's so nice sometimes to be, you know, like with people that you've known for a really long time.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
It was just real nice. So that was cool. It's good to see my friends. And so my best friend from college just had a baby. So I got to see her tiny little baby.
Yay.
Who was like not even 2 weeks old.
Real little.
Yeah, real little guy. That was cool. It was a fun weekend. Oh my God. I did though have a traveling moment where like I'm really, really clumsy. And I had a moment at the airport where like I was at my gate and like we were about to board, and then this is like leaving to go there. So I'm all excited, and there's a Starbucks right next to the gate. So I was like, oh yeah, I hadn't had coffee yet. Like that was the one thing I didn't have time for. So like, I'll just get a Starbucks and I'll have my coffee on the plane and this will be perfect. And you know, it's like a super quick flight. So really happy about this. Mm-hmm. Starbucks is literally right next to the door. So even though they're almost boarding, like I totally have time. So I get my coffee, and then, you know, it's a tiny plane. So actually by the time I got my coffee, basically everyone was on the plane already. And then I realized that I didn't have my seat yet because I was supposed to get that at the gate. So I like put my coffee down. I'm talking to the woman and like, oh, I was supposed to get my seat at the gate. And so she's like looking through like, oh yeah, I have your boarding pass. And then I like turn and somehow spill my entire coffee on the ground.
Oh no.
Part of that on my phone. Yes. The whole 16 ounce coffee is on.
When
the
it's
floor.
Full, so you didn't even get to enjoy it. That's almost the worst part.
I know. Oh. And I felt terrible because I just like made this, you know, just like a kid. Like I just made a fucking huge mess like on the carpet. And I was so just like, oh, I can go to Starbucks and get some napkins. Like, I'm so sorry. But like at the same time, like I really need a board.
Right.
And they were super cool and like very nice about it. They were like, no, like don't worry about it. We'll get napkins and like somebody else will clean it up. And they go, you know, like it was full. Like I'm sure you could probably just go back and like tell them and they'll make you another one. It's like, like, do I have time? They're like, yeah, you have time. So I went back and the woman was super, super nice. And she did make me another one for free. So it was very, very nice. And then I had to like walk back by, like, you know, the gate, like, to actually board, and I see my coffee mess with, like, a little cone next to it.
You can't be the first person that spilled a coffee in that very spot. That's probably why they were so cool about it. Like, yeah, this happens, like, once a week. It's fine.
Probably. So I get on the plane, and I have my coffee, and I'm like, okay, cool. So I sit down, and then, like, it's just two seats, and then the aisle, and then two other seats. And I have an aisle seat, and I'm, like, sitting there, and nobody's coming for the window seat. So I kind of, like, have my shit everywhere because, like, we're about to leave. Nobody's there. So I'm like, okay, cool. Then all of a sudden at the last moment, somebody, like, comes and...
Oh, I hate that.
No. Right. So I was, like, again, just, like, kind of flustered and just, like, oh, okay, like, let me just get my stuff because, like, I have my shit just, like, everywhere. So I, like, go to, like, grab some of my stuff. And, of course, some of the coffee then fucking spills on that person's seat. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, twice. Are you kidding me?
So at least it wasn't the whole thing this time.
No, it wasn't the whole thing, thank God. But, and luckily, I had a bunch of napkins from Starbucks because of the whole first time fiasco. So I'm trying to explain to this woman, like, I'm so sorry. Like, let me clean this up. And I can sit in this seat if you want. And then I realized that she doesn't actually speak English.
Oh, God.
Super flustered, don't know what's going on. And then her daughter comes, like, behind her, or her daughter speaks English. And I realized that they're, like, not seated together. So I was like, oh, like, you guys want to
sit
together?
This seat? There's just a little bit of coffee on it.
Yeah, there's just a splash of coffee.
I'll take that dry one back there.
Right. But to be fair,
I'll leave you the napkins.
Cleanup had gone pretty well, to my credit. But at this point, I was just like, I just need to do a fucking good deed because I feel so terrible. So they got to sit together and I, like, moved over to the other seat. I was just like, fucking just finish my coffee as fast as I can because it just keeps spilling this everywhere.
Oh, man.
But, yeah. But then I made it and that one was good. And I don't think I knocked anything over for the rest of the trip. But I did, when I got back, realize that because some of the coffee had gotten on my phone, now my phone speakers are, like, totally jacked up.
Oh,
and
no.
Yeah, it's kind of not great, especially since I just recently replaced this phone because, as I said on the podcast, I had dropped my previous one. Anyway, like, they still work totally fine if I have my, like, headphones plugged in. But I realized that, like, my alarm clock... it's, like, really quiet. That's kind of a big deal. And anytime that I, like, listen to anything, like, without, you know, because they're, like, pretty good speakers. But I don't know. So I'll maybe see if I can get that.
Hopefully fixed. When they dry. Oh, they're probably dried out by now. That sucks.
Yeah. I know. And I was like, well, I could take it to the Verizon store and they're going to get, well, they're not going to give me shit for not getting the insurance because, you know, they're professionals and whatever. But they did ask me a number of times if I wanted insurance.
Right.
I was like, no, I'm good.
This is why.
When are you due for a new phone?
Well, so now it's a little bit different the way that they upgrade. You can essentially upgrade every year, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I have too.
So, okay. So, like, I got this, I don't even remember, but, like, at the end of the summer, I want to say.
Well, are you still, like... within that first whatever it is to... Yeah, probably not.
No.
Because I did
remember... I looked at my plan. I still owe like $300 and some on the phone, so...
Ew.
If I wanted to do an early upgrade, I would have to pay like $380 and then plus the... So I'll write it out or I'll maybe see if I can get it fixed or I don't know.
Last year, I bit my phone on Valentine's Day.
How?
I had gotten it... Okay, so this is in my best moment. So we went out to dinner, and I may have had, you know, a decent amount to drink, but I wasn't drunk. This was when we went to see. I know Jay has told this story. I think maybe it was like to like us privately, not on a podcast. But we went to see Deadpool, and. You know, we went to this restaurant and they had, you know, at the end, we had like two glasses of wine each, but then they had like complimentary champagne. And that was a point where I was like happy instead of, you know, wine with dinner. And we went to watch Deadpool and we got beer that was 9.5% alcohol, which during the movie, which was the bad part. Because then I was like, you know, woo. And I went to go pee. I got like I put my teeth and I shattered the glass. And
oh my god!
Well, let's just say that didn't end up being the happiest of Valentine's Day because I had just gotten my phone. It was between my birthday and Valentine's Day, and Jay was pretty pissed because he was like, "You know, you're gonna have to pay for this whole fucking new phone now, right?" And I was like, "Maybe because they know you, they won't charge me." And he was just like, "I can't believe you. You got fucking drunk. You broke your phone less than a week after you have it. Now that's gonna cost us." And I was like, "Well, I can't blame you for being mad right now, but I wish you weren't so mad." So, you know. Everybody calm down.
Lucky you didn't hurt yourself, though. Like, you're lucky you get, like, glass shards all up in your
gums. I know. So, the moral of the story is, don't put your phone in your mouth if you're peeing in a public restroom.
Shove it in your bra like a real woman.
Yeah, shove it in your bra or leave it in your fucking purse.
Also good, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't one of my finer moments.
Although, I feel like, I mean, that's...
Luckily, now it's like, a story that we all
have. That's on the phone.
Right.
Yeah.
That's on the phone that it.
Yeah, it couldn't handle my teeth. Lots of things can handle my teeth.
Sorry, I would have laughed harder. You caught me mid yawn.
I did. That's okay. So anyway, yeah, that was one of my lessons, my life lessons.
Don't is not do your that. Phone.
And to this day, I have not ever put it in my mouth. To hold it like that since.
It's fair.
Yeah. Well, just watch out though, because I will say, like, when I dropped my phone and broke it last time, Frank gave me shit because, like, I didn't have a case. And so when I figured out the speaker thing, I was like, see? And I even have a case.
Yeah. Oh, good times. I don't think I've really even gotten too drunk in a movie since then either. Like, that was really like a learning lesson for me that day.
Yeah, I don't feel really drunk in a movie because I just fall asleep.
Yeah, well, normally we don't because we go and we have, you know, a beer or whatever, or if we have a second one or whatever, I never get the 9.5% twice. I always... will go down to, like, you know, like a 5% beer or something because I remember that incident. But usually we don't come, if we go to dinner before we go to the movies, we usually don't really drink at dinner. So that was just a perfect combination of three different types of alcohol in like a 2-hour span. A
special night.
Yeah. So it didn't end very well. But, you know, like I said, it's a funny story we all laugh about now. Because, you know, what's $300 3 years later?
Right. You've paid it off by now.
Yeah. Yes. Totally. Anyway, sorry. Somebody else can talk.
Yeah. Oh, so I went to Connecticut this weekend to retrieve the captain. So we've been reunited. We're family again. It's
Did he react, or was it just like, meh, whatever, meow?
Yeah, because I think it's like he's probably pretty aware that, like, this is a shit situation compared to what he was doing out in the country. You know, my parents' house has stairs and windows. My mom has lots of plants. So there's, like, lots of plants and there's lots of birds. And she has a big butterfly bush outside of her front window. And, like, the butterflies are migrating. So it's, like, covered in butterflies and there's cars to watch. Like, he has the best life out there. Like, he was, like, living his very best life. So I was like, oh, he's not going to want to come home. He's going to be like, oh, I hate you. Why are you doing this?
But this is his territory.
Yeah. But I think we're okay now. He does the, like, thing where you bring him home and to, like, make a point of sitting with his back face to you.
Oh.
But then eventually he kind of forgets about that and he's all, like, snuggled up and, like, snuggling with you, like, you know, inside of 20 minutes. But so it's good. Yeah, it's good to have him back. Like, I knew I missed him, but it's just like, I don't know. It's just nice having another living thing.
Yeah.
In the house.
I know.
So that's good. Yeah. But it's kind of been a quiet week for me. But so I was talking to my mom today, and she got her I'm going to pronounce this wrong, her daith pierced. It's like the inside part of your ear. It's D-A-I-T-H.
Oh, for her migraines.
Yeah. It looks super badass. So, like, here, I'll show you. Like, I have my rook pierced. So it's like that would be like further into the ear, but like kind of the same idea, like a big.
Amanda is referring to the top inner part of her ear.
Yes, thank you. But yeah, so apparently, if you get that part of your ear pierced, it's supposed to
help with
migraines, because she just has chronic migraines. She's had a migraine for like the past 10 days straight. Oh. So she's getting pretty desperate, and because she texts me, she's like, "Oh, I'm at a tattoo parlor right now." And I was like,
well, "Pictures that's not a place didn't you... happen."
Yeah, I'm like, "Well, that's a place you normally aren't, you know." But yeah, she's like, "Yeah, I went by myself." Like, she just drove herself to a tattoo parlor by herself on a Thursday morning and got pierced.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it looks super badass. Like, she sent the picture. I'm like, "Yeah, you look super tough. Like, you look cool. Awesome. Like, I want to get it pierced. I don't really get my migraines, but like, I want to get that pierced. That looks cool."
Yeah, it does.
So how do you spell it?
Yeah. Huh?
How do you spell it?
D-A-I-T-H. Yeah.
Oh. Anybody out there is also, while you're giving allergy advice to me, if you have any migraine advice for Amanda's mom, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. Yeah. Like I said, just to converse, like an FYI, the more you know.
She's taken all suggestions at this point.
Yes, daith piercings and all.
But yeah, so it just goes to show, you can get a new piercing in your 60s and rock it.
Yeah.
Rock it. Hey, we are 60 now, this show.
I know. Our show's going to start. When can we start collecting AARP?
Oh, perfect.
Like what? We get Medicare in like a couple more episodes? We'll qualify.
I don't know.
It might not be around by then, though.
Yeah.
It might not be around in a couple more episodes.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm not sure if we've adequately paid into the system. I mean, you know, how long would the system want to help us for anyway?
It's true. When can the broadcast start collecting Social Security? It would really help out, you know.
Oh, did you guys see, not to change the subject too quickly, but I just remembered it. I don't want to forget.
Go for it.
Did you guys see the link that Greg posted on Facebook today?
I'm going to need a little more of a prompt.
Okay, so the title was Yellowstone Supervolcano May Blow Sooner Than Thought and Could Wipe Out Life on the Planet.
Oh, great. Yeah, nope, didn't see that.
And I was like, we just talked about this.
I was telling you guys, Yellowstone's, here she blows. I guess if that happens, then nothing else matters.
Yep.
Yeah, which really, does it all matter in the end anyway? Just kidding.
Yeah.
So scientists working in and around Yellowstone National Park say that the supervolcano sitting under the tourist attraction may blow sooner than thought. Huh, that's what she said. An eruption that could wipe out life on the planet. According to National Geographic, so it must be real, the researchers from Arizona State University analyzed minerals in fossilized ash from the most recent mega eruption and found changes in temperature and composition that had only taken a few decades. Until now, the magazine reported, geologists had thought that it would take centuries for the supervolcano to make the transition. The discovery, which was presented at a recent volcanology conference.
Sure.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing. comes on top of a 2011 discovery that found ground above the magma reservoir in Yellowstone. How can you not say magma like Dr. Evil? In Yellowstone, had bulged by about 10 inches in 7 years. It bulged 10 inches, guys. an extraordinary uplift because it covers such a large area and the rates are so high, this expert dude said. Okay, anyway, so we're all fucked.
So wait, what, did they give a year?
So it said, oh yes, I guess if I continued reading it, that is actually in the next paragraph.
Yeah, I need to know.
Okay. About 630,000 years ago, National Geographic reported, a powerful eruption shook the region and created the Yellowstone caldera, a 40-mile-wide bowl that forms much of the park. Perhaps ominously, the previous eruption occurred in about the same time frame before that, about 1.3 million years ago, meaning the system is ready for another explosion. So it's pretty much imminent.
Well, but 600 years, I thought that said. Or did I misunderstand?
No, no, no. 630,000 years ago was the last powerful eruption that created this 40-mile wild bolt.
And I was like, 600 years. I'm like, that's great. But, like,
you're like, the world is going to warm over before that happens.
We're going to blow ourselves up with nuclear weapons before that happens.
That is very true. So essentially, 2,500
times more material than erupted from Mount St. Helens.
Yes, sort of skimmed over that. That sounds bad.
Yeah. On this very special episode of the broadcast.
You know, I had always said, like,
all the doom pour, the sequel.
Right.
Yeah, right.
When Yellowstone goes, like, I always kind of felt actually, like, oddly comfortable living in Montana because it was like,
you're going to die right away?
Yeah, I'd rather.
Yeah, you're not going to suffer.
Happen, right. But, yeah, now I'm not, like, in the thick of it anymore. But I guess maybe it's close enough. I guess we'll find out.
I guess we will.
It's a good time to be alive, guys. It is.
Hey, the world throughout history has been filled with good times to be alive.
That's true.
In a happier note, Livestrong.com delivered me an article today, 5 ways to enjoy the benefits of sex when you're not getting any.
Okay, explain. Well, intrigued.
That sounds like a contradiction.
Tell me more.
Well, I figured that I would share this because I actually did read this ahead of time. It's not as silly as it sounds. It's essentially how to get the flow of the same, like, feel-good hormones that you get from sex. Now, try not to laugh at this next sentence. Give these 5 things a try to see for yourself.
No. Was that pun intended or was that...
But like, they really only find 5, or yeah.
It's the 5 finger benefit. Okay, the first number 1, exercise. I mean, most of these are pretty self, are, you know, duh.
Dude, I was totally gonna say go for a long run.
Well, have you ever been on a treadmill, like, super intense, like in the Vagina Monologues where they talk about that?
On a treadmill, super intense.
Like when it's super intense on a treadmill.
I mean, I've been, and like, all the blood intense, flows, like, elsewhere.
And all the blood flows down there. It's kind of like also when you're doing the rowing machine.
I would say,
I don't know.
I don't get, like, sexually aroused.
Not aroused. There's a difference between, like, arousal and.
Sure. It's nothing is happening in the vagina, but, like, in the brain. At least for me, like, when I
It's
I
been
run.
Such a long time right. since I've, like.
If I, when I. Yeah.
Used that machinery really in that, not in that capacity, but you know what I mean. Like, the last time I was on a treadmill, I, you know, walked because, you know, I'm pregnant, so I wasn't, like, trying to, like, kill myself. And the rowing machine I haven't used in years because I literally would, you know, feel like I was going to die after 5 minutes on it. But exercise does a body good. Moving on. Just like sex, even mild exercise decreases cortisol. But somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. The stress hormone that we want to keep under control. It also raises endorphin levels. Blah, blah, blah. If you don't know what endorphins are, then internet research it.
Okay. Then ask your mother because you're probably not an adult.
Yeah. Number 2, we're getting better and better for these benefits. Deep breathing. Just breathe. You've heard it plenty of times before. But do you know why it feels so good? Probably because it means you're alive. or yawning. Deep breaths send oxygen to the brain and reduce cortisol levels while calming the brain's danger sensing amygdala. What? Amygdala?
Sure. Amygdala. That's a thing.
Amygdala.
Amygdala.
Amygdala. That actually might be it. Amygdala.
Well, I mean, that is a thing, not knowing what you're trying to read. I don't know if that's, you know.
Yeah. Just learn something new. That's how you spell amygdala. try maintaining a daily mindfulness practice or joining yoga or Tai Chi class. Is that why my Apple Watch tells me to breathe certain times a day? Does it like pick up when I'm stressed?
Potentially.
Interesting.
I mean, it can tell that by your pulse.
Yeah, it can. That's what I'm saying. Like, can it tell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Number three. or whichever three fingers, your pick of the three fingers.
Oh dear.
Loving touch. Ah, here we go. Here we go. Oxytocin.
Oh, sorry.
Or oxytocin is known as the love hormone and is released in abundance during sex. But that's not the only way to get your oxytocin fix throughout the day. Is a simple way to both boring hugs. Cuddles with a pet can also bring on warm and fuzzy effects. That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just human touch in general. We don't touch enough.
We don't touch enough.
That's true. To the point where, like, I get nervous when, like, other people touch me.
That's true. I have had my belly touched a bunch of times over the last week or so now that you can, like, look at me. I don't like it.
Well, but that's different. Because that's also, like, just invading your personal space. Like, it's like a touch that can't be reciprocated.
Yeah.
Well, it's like giving a hug or, like, touching someone's shoulder is totally different than, like, touching someone's stomach that's growing a human.
Mm-hmm. Or even if you're not growing a human, I wouldn't want anybody to touch my stomach unless...
Well, theoretically, if you weren't growing a human, a random stranger wouldn't touch your tummy.
I don't know. Somebody might be like, look at you, you're tight. More.
Yeah. Look at those abs.
Then again, I can think of some dudes I'd probably go up to and be like, can I touch that?
You ask. You wouldn't do it first. You ask for if they want the tea.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Always ask.
Always ask before you do. Keep your hands to yourself unless you have consent.
Unless you have consent. Number four, mood foods. I think this one might be my favorite. Not getting enough pleasure below the belt right now? No worries. Pleasure is also accessible through your taste buds. Have you ever wondered why you love chocolate so much? Because it contains things that encourage the release of endorphins. Blah, 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 blah. There's also a chemical found in chili peppers and hot sauces that makes you feel good. And so spicy chocolate, that's their recommendation. Sounds gross, but okay.
Oh, spicy chocolate's good.
And number five, does anybody want to guess what the fifth one is?
Well, it can't be sex. Masturbation.
Yes!
It's kind of cheating.
I know. I wanted to be like, shouldn't this have been one? But okay. Solo sex. So this is the five finger benefits. Or whatever it's called. Orgasms have wonderful health benefits regardless of how they happen. The Big O brings a chemical cocktail that includes oxytocin, endorphins, and the hormone prolactin, creating a cascade of pleasurable feelings as well as positive health benefits. So you hear that, everyone? Shandy's got a website for you.
That's right. I have a couple of websites for you.
Woohoo!
Nice.
Yes. Everybody, 1 through 5. The end.
My life feels so much more enriched for having known that.
Yeah. Good times. Do we want to head into some Facebook?
Woo! Yeah, let's do it.
All right. And feedback. We have a lot of feedback this week. Yay!
We do.
Yeah.
So our last episode, I had put in the episode description that we talked about queefs, and Jamie Joe said, you had me at queefs.
Which we did not hear back about.
We didn't really hear anything back about queefs.
We really didn't, did we?
Yes. Please.
Yeah, please let us know. Otherwise, I'm going to have to find some other stupid 1 through 5 article that talks about queefs, and you don't want that.
The five things we didn't know about queefing.
Right.
Is that a thing?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Hold on. I'll just Google it up.
Google it up.
BuzzFeed, Huffington Post California had something about it.
Nice.
Okay.
If somebody writes in about or somebody requests everything you've ever wanted to know about queefing or five things, whatever this article is, if you give feedback expressing your desire to hear this, I will definitely read this next week.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Chris posted a picture of two dudes holding hands in a bathroom.
It's pretty funny.
Yes, in regards to the buddy dump. Greg had given us a follow-up about the dude from Screen Junkies, who unfortunately ended up getting let go, or fortunately, I guess. I mean, right. Sucks for him, but you know, not for
well.
Women
but he should have, yeah,
you know, assaulted.
He should have kept his hands and all his extremities to himself.
But if anybody is interested in that, it is in the Jane Jack Patrons group. Speaking of, if you would like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JaneJack. If you are a patron at the $5 or more level, you too can be in this super fun patrons group that we have, and you can check out the lengthy detail that Greg goes into about the Screen Junkies dude. And it turns out he was pretty gross. He didn't just do this to one person. So, yeah.
Isn't that the case, though? Like, you know,
always.
If these guys are going to do it to one person, they've done it to 20.
Yeah, because they can get away with it after the first person.
Exactly. It, like, emboldens them just to keep doing the behavior.
It does. You know, and I've said this several times this week, I don't really want to get into it, but, like, I am really upset that the Harvey Weinstein thing has become a discussion about partisan politics and which side is more righteous or covers up more than the other. And I feel like that takes away from the actual thing, which is that there is a serious problem with people in power taking advantage of people who aren't in power. And
right.
We would rather blame each other for our politics instead of being like, hey, why don't we blame this guy that's fucking raping women in his casting couch and look at how we changed the system instead of forgetting that narrative and going down the path of, you know,
right.
things that distract us from it. And that bothers me because then the issue never gets fixed.
Because the main takeaway is that sexism exists on both sides.
It does.
Yeah. So this is not a bipartisan problem. It's a problem.
It's a problem.
It's not so much a Republican versus Democrat problem, although I will say the feminists are on the Democratic side, but there are also assholes on the Democratic side.
Yes, but that's not to say that women who are on the right, because I've had some discussions with women on the right over the last week, and they were just as grossed out by it, too.
Sure.
So I don't want to put people into specific categories of their political views, because I feel like across the board you should be disgusted with this and demand, you know, it stop and change. I don't know.
It's the problem of patriarchy. That's why we need to change the system, the whole system. But yeah, I mean, It is like really just interesting timing, because it is the 1 year anniversary of the pussy grab tapes. Mm-hmm. And so it is, I mean, it is like, you can't help but be reminded that, like, oh, right. The Republicans did have a guy like this, and then they elected him president. So there's that. That's damning.
Right.
Both sides. Sexism exists on both sides. Sexism is the real, like, the patriarchy is the real enemy here, and it affects everyone.
Yeah, it's there's been so much to come out, and I have been in many articles. Amanda and I have a friend that we talk about. I won't name names, but we mention his Facebook threads frequently in our group chat, and Shandy's always like, who's this guy again? I almost got into it today with some asshole on his group that, you know, with his page.
I saw your response, and I wanted to like it, but I was like, well, I don't want to get involved, but I thought it was really great. I thought you...
Thank you. I almost responded more, like, after that, and then I was like, I have to let this go, because this guy is... He clearly has no interest in being a rational person that, you know, because he wouldn't even concede, like, what about the women that were hurt in this? Or...
Right.
As I even had posted something...
Wait,
I was
what
like,
about the women that were what?
Hurt in all of this, like, again, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Well, because in addition to because we have a problem with victims.
What about them? We're saying that we do not have
Right.
Yes.
Well, just like then that, I think that's a lot of why I just don't get into it on Facebook, because a lot of people aren't there to have a conversation. They're there because they want to get into a fight.
Right. And that's why I generally, I've said this before, maybe not on here, but I have a general rule where I will only keep with the political arguments in the Jay and Jack there's a political overflow secret group. You have to, anybody can join it, but they have to be a member of the Jay and Jack's main Facebook group. And they have to realize that we're all friends outside of it, because it can get really nasty. Like, I'm pretty sure I said the words to Nick last night, Jesus fucking Christ, Nick, before preferencing something that I was arguing him with. And then,
And you must be really, upset to type that out. You're not saying it.
Yeah, I didn't
JFC it. You're thinking it in your head and then typing it out.
I didn't JFC it. We actually had a really bad...
Every character.
We actually had really bad rain last night, and we had a flood, and it leaked in through the lights, the electrical outlet down here. Okay. And Jay's trying to clean that up, and I'm literally like, hold on one second, I'm getting Nick explained and I'm mad. And he was like, put it down, there's water coming in. And I was like, I can't.
Exhaust these demons, then I will help you.
I was like, I have to get it out now, or I won't remember what I wanted to say, and I won't be mad anymore. So, yes, I will only really keep it within that group. And if you do have an interest in joining, again, please keep in mind that that's supposed to be a safe place to argue things, not get super nasty with each other. And you have to, maintain, you have to try to just remember outside of it, we're all friends. But I will keep my arguing in there, and I will keep my snide political remarks to Twitter. But I will, because I'm never really on Twitter. Like, I'll drop something, and then I'll come back 3 days later. So, by then, if anybody has ever responded to me, I'm whatever, this was 3 days ago.
Great. I
try to not argue with people as a rule on Facebook in general, because I also feel like there's no real point. So.
Right. It feels very futile.
Yeah. Because
it's like Facebook's a place for people that agree with you.
Yes.
Well, and I mean, honestly, it's Facebook. I don't know. For me, I just don't use it like that. Use it mostly to share pictures, a lot of times pictures of cats, sometimes pictures of travels. And then I'll post interesting things that I find that I would like to share. Oh my God, I just discovered this new podcast called Bitch Face, and it is so fucking good. And so I posted a link to that, and then I'll post some more political stuff. But it's just hey, I'm posting this for anyone who maybe wants to read it, but I really don't necessarily want to have a back and forth about it.
Right. This is something that I found interesting. I would think people that are friends with me would also like to read.
Exactly. Which is how I use Facebook. When I go through my feed, I'll see I know that certain people just post really interesting articles, and I'll read the articles. Maybe I'll react to them, or probably I won't. And that's it. It's just it's social media. It's
right.
Just
right.
And even to go it a step further, it's not that I don't I would so much rather have a conversation in person with someone I disagree with than to try and do it over Facebook.
Oh no,
because
not
it just
me.
Gets nasty too fast. I would so much I would actually love to sit down with someone that
now,
is a gun toting Second Amendment person, just because I need to understand
You did in Ohio, right?
Exactly. And no, in South Carolina.
Sorry,
South Carolina.
I knew it was a state that wasn't New York.
But it was very fulfilling for me. It's I would so much rather do that. Yeah, right. A state outside of New York. But I would so much rather do that than to try and
do it
on Facebook. Because you can't stay civil. You just can't.
See, no, I think that
Facebook. It's supposed to be this place with your friends that you just sort of share.
But, and that's why I like that group that I'm in, because it is.
That's why I left that group that I was also in.
Okay. So right.
I never joined. I'm curious too, though.
I find it that it's more, even when it gets intense in there, I find because everybody is friends outside of that, it's a lot easier to know that nobody there is arguing with you because they don't like you. They just have an impassioned opinion that's different than yours. And I think that you're allowed to have an opinion that's different than mine, or even if you have the same end opinion, whatever. So I'm fine with that, and I'd much rather do it over typing because I can hit delete. And in person, I can't think that fast. Like, I'm not that quick on my feet when I'm trying to talk to somebody about something. I get very loud. I cry. I get, I get red. I get high-pitched. And I feel like I don't do myself any favors when I discuss something with somebody in person. And I feel like when I have the keyboard, a screen in front of me where, again, I could hit delete, reread what I'm going to say and be like, you know what? Maybe I sound stupid saying that. I much better prefer that. But that's just me. That's just because I have a brain-to-mouth filter problem and I'm very emotional.
Well, maybe it'd be a good practice, though, then to do it. Because it's like, yeah, I'm not particularly quick-witted when I talk to people either, but I take a minute and I think about it.
No, I'm good. I got my friends that I argue with and I like them. It's my outlet. I don't want to argue with the strangers and the random people on our mutual friends page, but that guy just, pissed me off. Okay. Anyway.
Those people I just definitely unfollow. Cause I don't need to see that in my life.
Right.
I love watching other people argue.
Yeah.
They just sound so stupid. You just sound so dumb.
The problem is that so many people are so stupid, and I know it sounds pretentious to say, but it's hard.
But when people are coming at the argument with facts, they still because people just go for the jugular instead of I do enjoy when you watch a thread and you see someone come back with well, I see why you think that, but fact. And you're like, oh, I wish everyone could be like that, but it's social media and we can't. So
I disagree. I don't know. Maybe I disagree. Maybe it's because where I go, we tend to where I hang out, it's a little bit more high class than your average.
Well, exactly.
It's a closed secret Facebook group.
And that's my point exactly.
Everyone
though.
Knows each other. And yeah. Okay.
That's exactly my point. That people that just respond to random senator postings or a HuffPo article or and they just get into it with complete and utter strangers.
I don't understand.
Well, there's
that.
Actually. There is, and I meant to Google this or talk about this previous episode. I was reading a blog, and in the comments of a blog was somebody that was, saying kind of crazy things. And I don't even know if it was outwardly political. I don't remember exactly what the topic was, but somebody came back and, it was political, but I forget exactly. It wasn't a Trump argument. I forget exactly what it was, but whoever it was, made the most ridiculous statement and then somehow brought Hillary in, but Hillary didn't really tie into the argument. It was almost like she was there to set people off. And somebody underneath it, and I was just reading the comments, because this is just I don't know any of the people that comment on here, so I never comment. And, somebody responded and was just like, are you kidding me? This is blah, 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 blah. And then somebody, the first person responded again, and it was another comment that just it just made no sense, but it was just incendiary. It was are you really that dumb? And somebody else jumped in and was like, this is a bot, and here's how you can recognize the comments that are bots. And since then, this must have been 2 or 3 weeks ago, since that person was like, be on the lookout, because I've been studying the bots for the last year, he's like, I feel like I'm really good. And he's like, of course you never know for certain. He's like, but I feel like I'm pretty good at establishing what's a real life commenter and what's not. And since then, I remember I keep going back to what that guy said. And I feel a lot better now when I read some of the random fucking crazy ass things on Facebook where I'm like, oh, I don't think this person is real.
That's really interesting.
It was.
It made sense. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh yeah, duh, of course. But it's something I hadn't thought of before.
Yeah.
Okay, just I don't understand why people would ever have enough time in their day or just, I don't know, a lack of I don't know, a life,
I guess. People in their life to talk to.
Right, to be a troll. I don't understand that. In the same way, I don't understand why would somebody had to make the bot. Somebody's
there's algorithms that I think are trained to recognize certain code words in comments and then go. From what I understand,
the motion, like, who, and why does that person not get a life? That's what I don't understand.
I don't know, but this person also, I will find the comment. I wish that I could remember. I feel like it was some kind of gay rights thread, but maybe I'm not. Like, I don't remember now. I want to go back and find it. Because they also had a very interesting theory about the Twitter bots and the people that Trump retweets and who retweets him. And they said, cannot. It was really interesting. And again, like, this person said, take this with a grain of salt. This is, you know, my observations for the last year. I'm very analytical and I find this very fascinating. He's like, but, you know, this is just my observations. But I have found these correlations amongst these certain types of speech patterns and languages and just, you know, certain topics and things that they comment on. So, you know, the guy was like, please, again, keep this with a grain of salt. But he had this theory that on Twitter, the particularly like head-banging comments on Twitter, especially some of the ones that, you know, really argue like some of the points that you're like, really? They noticed that they had a flag as a part of their username, or the hashtag they used had a flag on it. So their theory was perhaps whatever is like a calling card for the bots to come out, like the topic, is hashtagged with the flag, and it, like, you know, calls them all out. So I started looking and I noticed a lot of crazy people on Twitter actually do utilize a flag in their name or in their hashtag.
Huh, like an American flag?
Yeah, because it's Make America Great Again.
Right.
So
yeah, it's not going to be the Pride flag. Yeah.
Total, I mean,
I don't know,
total,
could have been like the Union Jack, huh?
Total conspiracy, take it with a complete grain of salt. Just something, you know, like, huh, interesting kind of thing.
That is interesting.
So. It is interesting. Now I'm reading about how it can, like, influence politics, and which I guess I kind of, like, maybe new, but not fully.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
All right. Now that we spent like 20 minutes totally on a tangent, we got a whole bunch of feedback. Let's see what we can get through in the next like half hour. And then we'll save whatever we don't get to for next week. All right. So let's start with our first email, which cracked me up hysterically. This one is called Kitty Fart. Hi, broadcasters. So I have a funny story to share. Today, I was visiting my mom. I am such a nice and properly raised son. I was helping with her, some cleanup in her townhouse, organizing the storage room, etc. Lots of hard work. Anyway, to keep me going, hashtag I work with hers. I was listening to my favorite podcast, staying current with my latest episode of the broadcast. Didn't have my earbuds, so I was playing it over my phone speaker. Occasionally, my darling mother, who I love so much, would walk in to help. She asked about what I was listening to. I explained the show and how these were these great people that I had the chance to meet in Raleigh last May. As we listened together, she was laughing at some of the comments on the show and all along patting her sweet little innocent sunny boy on the head for all of his hard work and helping. Then the topic of queefing came up, and by the broadcasters, I, JP, was proclaimed the expert. Needless to say, my sweet dear mom made me replay the segment. All along, I think she was taking pleasure in seeing the nice shade of red my face had turned. I am sure she was also wondering how her sweet and innocent boy knew of such a thing. Winky face. But to answer the topic question, I have only ever heard it happen during sex. To be honest, Colleen probably knows more about the Titanic sinking than I do about queefs. Goddamn right. I can't even recall someone I have been with even farting in front of me. Well, that's a shame. Let me flip the question. Mm-hmm. Would your partner farting in front of you during sex ruin the moment? Take long-term relationships out of it. Would him farting during sex early on ruin it even? Yours truly and still so innocent, JP. Hi, JP's mom.
Hi, JP's mom.
So would your partner farting in front of you during sex ruin the moment?
It's funny because, like, my partner and I fart in front of each other all the time. Yeah.
Same.
I told this story.
I'm the guilty one in the relationship. So I think it would be weird for me just because it doesn't happen in reverse that way that often. Huh. Be more like, what have you done with my partner? I like this version better.
Although I will say, like, during sex, though, is never, I don't think that's happened. I think it would kind of ruin the moment, like, depending on where your head is located at the moment.
Well, yes.
Right. And just where you're, like, where your head in space is located, but where your, like, mental thought process is at this.
I mean, like, where you're physically located. How close you're, you know, located to, yeah.
If you get a fart in your face, it's probably going to sort of ruin it.
But I would also argue, like, depending on where you are, and, like it can take you out of the moment, and the fact you're like, oh, okay, well,
yeah, that could happen too. Also, I said I've never farted during sex, but I'm sure, like, I mean, you know, stuff happens, like, during anal sex. It's just kind of there.
Yeah.
I'm sure I have. I have a problem with cheese, so I'm sure I have.
I'm just stinky in general, so
yeah. I'm sure I've burped. So it's like, about the same.
I mean, we had a fart contest like our second full on weekend together. So I'm pretty sure the smell would ruin things, and then you know you laugh about it. I guess that's the benefit of a long-term relationship or being really immature about bodily functions.
It happens. We all fart.
We all fart. Yeah.
Some of us more often than others.
Yes. Also, JP, now that your mom's not here, you can still tell us about the queefing. We know you know. Okay. Moving on.
This is going to be another good one, I think. It's from C. Drake. It's called Goat Yoga. Hello, ladies. Update on the situation with friends with benefit. Oh, right. I remember what this one is about now. Sorry. So I followed y'all's advice and I took a break from talking to my former FWB that I got attached to. She will text me or Snapchat me every few weeks and I'll reply, but I don't make an effort to talk to her outside of that. It does somewhat help because I don't think about her as much now, but I still find myself wishing I wasn't alone more now than I did before. I know she still cares for me, but sometimes I feel she is just checking in to see if I'm alive, since you can't hide if you view a Snapchat. I only think that way because I know some people who only text me to see if I'm living, like my parents. My depression hasn't changed much. I mean, that's good parenting. You know, you just got to make sure your child is still living.
They like you, really.
They like you. My depression hasn't changed much, and I gained a lot of weight back that I had lost. I am not trying to pass the blame on to anyone, but it seems that when I had someone in my life consistently, even from afar, I seem to be more motivated to do more positive things. I do not know why I struggle to do things for myself that I know are good for me. I know I should only do these things for myself and no one else. I think I'm craving some sort of external validation and companionship that I just can't get from anywhere else or my cats, no matter how cute they are. And I believe this email had some cute pictures of cats.
It did.
So I'm feeling a little cheated in this outline. But everyone just pretend. Think about cute pictures of cats.
One job, Shandy.
Think about cute cats and then we'll continue.
Stick the pussy on the document.
Not a pussy on this document.
Put the pussy on the page. That's all you had to do.
Pussy on the page. On a lighter note, I was doing some research on alternative therapies and came across goat yoga. That is not a typo. Goat yoga. Yoga with baby goats. apparently a lot of people are doing yoga with baby goats. And one of the reasons is because you can't be depressed with baby goats around. I've heard that about baby goats. I'm planning on going this routine for my depression, but I found it amusing. I also have a baby goat break into my house. Wait, let's read that again.
Wait, what?
I also had a baby goat break into my house a while back and couldn't even get mad. My fancy pantsies number is 18.
Okay, that sounds like a story that I want to know more about.
I know. And I feel a little cheated that we don't know the story about the baby goat breaking into the house. What did they take? Did they eat all your carrots? Like, what happened? Did they eat all your shoes? Like, I need to know. What did they want?
Oh, yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I've heard of goat yoga. I had a friend that did it. It just seems really dangerous to me.
To me, it just seems like,
well,
you get a bunch of goats as babies, and what are you going to do with them once they're older? Because they can no longer serve the purpose of goat, like baby goat yoga. Shit. So
you eat them.
Or they go to a farm where they make goat milk and goat cheese and stuff.
But that's just,
it could go to like a dairy farm.
Sounds like a lot of goats.
It could go to a petting zoo. Actually, they probably go to a petting zoo, or they could.
And then what happens when the petting zoo?
I don't know if you'd be able to eat the baby goat. You know, like
I feel like.
I mean, also not eating meat. I probably don't really have a horse in this race, but. I would imagine, like, goats that they use for yoga, like, you know.
What happens?
I feel like goats that are raised to be eaten, they, like, chock full of crap, so they're all, like, big and huge.
To goats after you don't use them for
goat yoga.
Yoga anymore. Okay, let's see. What does Google say? It does not say.
Oh, no. We need to start an association to create humane ways to deal with the uptake in like goat population that's going to happen because of yoga, the new yoga craze, to make sure that they're not just being like, I don't know.
A goat sanctuary.
A goat sanctuary that's just going to grow and grow.
A goat sanctuary. I'm sure there's a pun in namaste somewhere.
I think wouldn't namaste and goat yoga just be like, bah.
Your version of Om.
I'm trying to see. I found an article about town attacks small business over goat yoga. This is from newbostonpost.com. I'm trying. It doesn't really say, but it's something from the town of Manchester, Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. There's totally like goat yoga.
Oh, how silly of us not to think of Manchester right away.
I feel like anyone I know that's done goat yoga is like a friend from Connecticut. So.
Okay. Well, that would make sense.
Right. I just think it's dangerous. You're like trying to do like downward facing dog. Like a goat jumps up and like hits you in the spine in just the right place.
Yeah.
Like you could like slip a disc.
Well, what exactly is the goat? Okay. Is the goat doing yoga next to you, or are you just doing yoga amongst the
goat? No, the goat's like climbing around on you.
I mean, you can't really make the goat do yoga.
But that's not really very relaxing.
That's what I'm saying.
So, essentially, it's supposed to be a stress relief thing. This farm in Manchester, Connecticut was doing it, according to the Hartford Courant.
Oh, yes.
Farm is not zoned properly for health and recreation use. The letter states that goat yoga is not considered a farm activity because it doesn't have anything to do with farming or agritourism.
Legitimate.
So anyway, still no idea what happens to the goats after, but you know, we're gonna hope for the best. If anybody knows, the broadcasters3@gmail.com.
I'm concerned about.
Or would like to give us seed money to start our goat sanctuary.
Oh, yes. God. You guys have fun with that. I'd rather do cat yoga. We all have cats.
Yes.
I do cat yoga every morning.
So why didn't you license this to start a business?
Because it's not that fun. He just sleeps on your mat and gets in the way.
Very true. So he does that too.
Yeah. Or like I'll be sitting like, you know, Indian style, like meditating, and he'll like climb in my lap, which is adorable. But then you're like, but I have to move out of this. I have to do more poses now, and you're too cute to move. So you're affecting my ability to exercise.
Yeah. Does anybody have any advice for Drake on the other part?
Just that I feel so bad. Like, I feel for him. Like, I think it is easier to do things for ourselves when for someone else. I think trying to do something good for ourselves just for ourselves is like really hard sometimes. And I think that really, really sucks, but I'm glad that you recognize the negative behavior. Cause I think that is the first step to trying to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, therapy to maybe, because it is true that like you need to find like internal sources of motivation and a sense of fulfillment, but it's understandable to want people to share that with. So I don't know. I mean, I think we talked about this before, like maybe trying to expand your friend circle.
Right. And we also, cause didn't we talk about this at the live cougar party or something?
Maybe. Or I feel like we've talked about it a few times. It's come around. It's come up several times.
Right. And we suggested he didn't want to do the medicine route. Right.
Right. I don't think so.
Cause that's still my suggestion as somebody who tried to self-medicate on their own for a long time. And that really was probably, other than exercise, which really did keep me quite stable. Once I started taking the sertraline, which is the generic Zoloft, I got a lot better. So, which I have stopped taking now that I'm pregnant, and withdrawal really sucked. Let me tell you, like really sucked. So,
Shandy.
I feel like actually this goes back to the five finger.
Oh, the five like, finger. Shandy is like trying to talk her hand you to masturbate.
Like exercise, eat chocolate.
The five rules.
The five rules.
The five feel good rules. Episode title.
I would join an intramural sports team. I think that's probably killing several birds with one stone. The exercise, the endorphins, and you're getting out and you're meeting new people.
Spicy chocolate.
And spicy chocolate. You can all go out for spicy chocolate after the game.
Yes. Yeah,
probably not before. I don't think that's good, like pre-workout food.
Yeah. Mm-mm. All right. Next up, we have an email from Dave. The last episode was great. Morocco sounded amazing. I'm not sure I'd ever be that adventurous, but it was so cool hearing about it. My dad quit drinking 25 years ago, but still likes the taste of beer. So I often buy non-alcoholic beer for him when he visits. He never drinks all six, so I usually end up with a random one or two left, which leads me to try them. Beck's and St. Pauli both make very decent NA non-alcoholic beer. Not quite the real thing, but it might work to get Colleen through the next few months. I almost bought the fake wine today, and then I didn't. I was like, it's okay. I'm drinking orange juice instead. Just as much sugar. I was thinking that it might be interesting to hear the broadcasters react to Matt's top 10 lists. It would be kind of a crossover between the two podcasts. He's talking about the Ramblecast and the Ramblecast After Dark and Matt's infamous top 10 lists. Matt's last list was the top 10 actresses of all time. Matt insanely placed Patrick Swayze on the list. I thought at the time that I would love to hear the three of you respond to that. I could almost imagine Amanda losing her mind at that pick.
I haven't heard it, so I'd be curious to hear the context of the choice.
And anyhow, it might be a funny idea. I'm listening to Colleen's potty training stories. I was reminded of an incident in our own home. My wife and I refer to it as Poopageddon. If you are interested, I will write it up and you can share. Warning, it is a tad gross. Thanks for doing such a consistently funny podcast, Dave Gott.
Dave, yes.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Also, if you know anything about queefs, we would be very interested in hearing that as well.
Also. Yeah, I also want context for this list thing.
Yeah. Well,
I haven't got. I'm like pretty behind on the Ramblecast.
Well, to be fair, you were out of the country without internet for 2.5 weeks.
Legit.
So why don't we do this? We'll listen for next week, and you can give your reaction. So everybody, stay tuned for that. And I don't know. Maybe once in a while, one of the Ramblecast dudes that's not Nick can listen to us.
Yep. Sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah. I'm just teasing. There's too many penises on that podcast for Shandy.
Yeah, like so, well, actually, a little bit. Yeah. I have really been concentrating on female media lately, and like it feels really good.
I think that's great.
Fantastic. Yeah. You two listen for next week. We will give our direct response to Matt's top 10 actresses of all time list.
I will give him the benefit of the doubt, but have I ever mentioned on this podcast how much, like, my feelings about, like, top 10, like, ranking things and, like, lists anyway?
Yes, you have. You don't like
that. He's, like, going into this with a couple of strikes, but I will try to keep an open mind.
Okay. All right, we have two more emails and a voicemail, and we've got roughly about 10 minutes left, so let's see what headway we can make with this.
All right.
Okay, so Laura writes in about making friends after college. And she says, "Hey, ladies, first I want to say just how much I love the show and how it has become the highlight of my week to hear you three talk about whatever is on your mind, really.
Yay.
Y'all have basically become like older sisters to me as I begin to learn to navigate the quote-unquote adult world. That being said, I graduated from college about a year ago and also ended a 3-year relationship that went along with it. At the beginning of the summer, I got my first big girl job and moved 8 hours away from home to Charlotte, North Carolina, a place where I don't know a single soul.
Come to the podcast meetup in May.
Yes.
It's true.
Okay, so in the past year, I've had quite a bit of change in my life. I work in an office filled with older coworkers, 40 to 50 years old, and I really have learned to love them, but it's just not the same as having girlfriends around your age. I guess I never realized just how easy it was to make friends when you're surrounded by people your age 95% of the time. Don't get me wrong, I love plopping on the couch after work and binge-watching Netflix as much as the next person, but the loneliness is really starting to set in. Why does it seem so much harder to make friends now that I'm out of school, and do y'all have any advice on making adult friends and learning how to not feel awkward going to bars alone? Oh, and my fancy panties number is a 13. It has very little relation to this email, but I thought I would pass it along. Much love always, Laura."
Woohoo! We got two fancy pansy numbers this week. Yay!
That's right. Yes. Thank you for that.
Yay.
I was telling the ladies before we started recording that this email is like very close to my heart. When I saw it, I was just like, oh my God.
This email is like your spirit animal.
It really is. Oh, Laura, if you didn't live across the country from me, we could be like in real life friends. But maybe we can meet in May, because as of right now, I have enough money, thanks to the wonderful patrons, to pay for my ticket and hotel. So I'm very excited about that.
Yay.
Hooray. Yeah. I do not. So I'm going to have to start saving my pennies.
I told myself last year, I was just so sad that I wasn't able to make it that I was like, I'm not touching that anymore. Like that's just for, it's just for Raleigh and nothing else. And
yay. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I think that's important. We started doing that in our apartment. I don't know if I brought up the pickle jar that we keep.
$5 jar, right?
Yeah. It's really, it's nice having like, yeah, a physical place that you put money that is for something and you don't touch it.
Yes. I love it too. Cause like with my husband, like we, all of our expenses are shared, and that's great, because like what we have, we've built together, and like it's, you know, it's very convenient. But it is so nice having this one account that's just me, and it's just like however I want to handle it. And it's not like, you know, we're not talking like crazy sums of money, so it's not like taking away anything from our common finances.
Yeah.
But I think that's so important.
Wait,
so, like,
we are getting way off topic here.
Oh, right. 10 minutes. Sorry. We are 10 minutes. Okay. Okay. Let's write this ship.
Laura, just wanted to say, first of all, this is super, super normal. So I don't know if that helps at all, but hopefully it can at least just reassure you that like you are not alone. I had this very same thing happen to me. But the thing is, I went to college and then I went to grad school and then I did another master's degree. So I was in that environment for just like most of my life. And I think, like, I just took it for granted. It took me a long time to realize that, yeah, it's different once you get out of school, because you're not, when you're in school, you're just like, you're in contact with, you know, really interesting people in like this really like intellectually stimulating environment, and, you know, people from just like different walks of life. And so even if you don't become friends with them all, it's just easier.
Yeah.
And you have something in common because you're both studying the same thing or whatever. So yeah, it took me a long time too when I left. And I have the same thing where like the people I work with are all, for the most part, at least 10 years older than me, if not 20 or 30. And that's fine. But I've said on the podcast too, like, for me, like, work is very separate. Like, my work life is one thing. My personal life is the other thing. So for me, that actually, it's kind of almost nice that that's the way it is, because it's just like two separate things. But you got to have your people. So I will say that the way that I finally started meeting people was, first of all, to be like 100% where I was. Because for a long time, I was like looking to move somewhere else. I wasn't super happy with where I was. And once I stopped all that craziness and was like 100% in Monterey, I like, it sounds so stupid, but I liked all of the Facebook pages of like the local museums and like the local, just all this different stuff. So then all of a sudden I was seeing like all the different events going on in town. I'm like, oh, maybe I should go to that or go to that. And at said events, I've actually met people that were my age and had similar interests and things. So whatever you can do to like become part of Charlotte, whether it's like joining, you know, like I just joined that running club and I've met people there already. So that's, you know, whatever you're interested in, try to find,
right.
Try to like,
yeah,
meet people there. And with the bars, like you don't have to, I mean, you don't have to go to bars at all, but if you do want to go and not feel weird being alone, like you can bring a book or a magazine or like a computer, and, you know, maybe you'll start up a conversation with the person sitting next to you, or maybe you won't. Or maybe if you go somewhere to read like a lot, if it's like a bar, like maybe you'll become friends with the bouncer, and then like you have that person, not the bouncer, the bartender, or maybe the bouncer too. But like, you know, then you have that person to talk to, and then that can facilitate conversations with other people. But yeah. I would just
maybe
say,
start like, with a. Sorry, I cut you off.
No,
go ahead.
No. I was just like, yeah, whatever you can do to get into like make yourself part of that community. That's what I would say. But yeah.
I used to work with somebody who joined a lot of the local meetup groups. So like he would have one and they would do things together. Like they would go for a hike together or meet at like a bar or, you know, just do different things together. I know because, you know, he used to talk about that. And it was just a way to meet friends and you know, take those friendships outside of the group and keep doing that. So there's a suggestion.
Yeah. Well, and what I was going to say to go along with, yeah, going to bars by yourself is really intimidating. Maybe try starting with a coffee shop, going to a coffee shop by yourself with a book and maybe starting small.
Maybe because I'm married, but I've totally like gone to like World of Beer and like chilled and played on my iPad and had a beer by myself and waited. We've talked about this before though.
But waiting is different, I think,
not,
than like
not waiting
just going
for
to go to be there by yourself.
Well, not waiting for someone to come, like waiting for like the next thing that I had to do or something like that.
But it's still waiting. Like it's a finite amount of time. Like you weren't going there to like
yeah. But you're
socialize.
Still, yeah, that's
you
very
were killing
true.
Time. Yeah.
That's very
but,
true.
Yeah, like I think, yeah, finding meetup groups, you know, maybe there's a choir, maybe there's you know, maybe there's a local bar that does like an event like every third Sunday of the month. Like they
yeah.
do like a live music thing, or they do like a, you know, like a women's march
or
meetup
trivia
thing
or something.
Or trivia thing.
Or like we told Drake, Intramural Sports League.
Yep, I am a big fan of intramural sports.
I have met some good friends in Raleigh from when I used to take Pilates every week, and then I got her into Pier Bar, and now I don't really go to Pilates as much just because the timing with Zach doesn't work, but now I see her at Pier Bar sometimes. So, you know, I think it's the more out and about kind of you are, the more likely you are to meet somebody that you'll click with.
Yeah, and actually, I was listening at This American Life, not this past week, but the week before, they had an interesting piece about making friends as an adult.
Oh.
So I would recommend checking that out. It's cool. I think like the act three, but it was very okay. interesting, and it was very applicable to what we're talking about. So I would suggest giving that a listen if you haven't already.
I will have to do that too. I'm super behind on This American Life, but
yeah, I'm super behind on everything.
I'm not stressing out about it. But also, Laura, just like, I know this is probably not like the advice or anything that you want to hear, but just expect that it will take more time than it used to. Mm-hmm. And I think like expectation management can at least help you to hopefully not be so frustrated or feeling so lonely about just the fact that it does take longer. But I think, I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast before too, I think, how mm-hmm. just when you do reach adulthood and you have so many other things going on in your life, like it takes so much more energy in a way to like really cultivate friendships. So people are, I don't know, people are careful about how they spend their time, like how they allocate their time. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, I don't think.
Yeah, no, I think that's just a natural progression of life.
That's why I was going to just suggest whatever you decide to do, make sure it's something that you enjoy doing. Like I gave the Pilates example uh-huh. before. I liked going every week, so it wasn't like pulling teeth for me to go to the out of the house. Like if I had, say, joined like a knitting class, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed going. So it might not have necessarily been the people that you wanted to meet.
Exactly.
Don't just do something just to do it. Make sure it's something that you're passionate about, so you can get more than just potential friend scoping out of it.
But to that, just to play devil's advocate, it's also not a bad idea just to try stuff that you think you might not be into, because you may surprise yourself and you might really like it. But at that same point, do one class. If you're like, meh, not for me, don't feel like you have to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, definitely enriching to put yourself outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah. And if you're ever up in Raleigh, hit us up.
Definitely. And also, like, the thing about, like, going to bars or any place alone. Here's the thing, like the one thing that you do have going for you in this, like the silver lining in the situation is like, you shouldn't feel self-conscious about that, because you don't fucking know any of those people. That's like, you know, it's the thing that's frustrating you is that you don't have friends, but at the same time, you don't have to care what anyone thinks about you, because they don't know you and they're like, you might never see them again.
Yes. Just make sure if you're going to go someplace drinking by yourself, a friend does know where you are. Be safe.
Well, yeah, sure. Be safe.
You can never be too safe. I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. Okay. Before I make this answer more awkward, I'm just going to leave it there.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck. And maybe by the time we all meet up in May and get to meet you in person, you'll have some new friendship stories to tell us.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. I look forward to that.
All right. So I think that is where we're going to put a pin in it for this week. We have an email that we'll get to next week, and we have a voicemail about poop. So I don't know if we want to play it out with the voicemail or save it for next week. Let me see.
I think we can save it. Something to come back to.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a really good cliffhanger.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's
a seat hanger, a bowl hanger. It's not going to get much better, guys. We should wrap it up.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Someone stamp me.
I believe that this voicemail may come from one of our favorite creepy mail carriers.
Oh my goodness! This is
very exciting, guys.
This is very exciting.
So we will to be continued for next week. So anyway, speaking of our favorite creepy letter carrier, this is the point where we thank our patrons. Thank you to everyone out there who is a patron, especially Ed the Creepy Mailman, Molly the Millennial, Tack, and Eckhart. Thank you guys so very much. And thank you to everybody again. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/jayandjack and look at the different opportunities there. Or you can go to jayandjack.com and click on the Patreon link, the Become a Patron link at the top of the page. If you are so inclined and you're starting your Amazon holiday shopping early, if you could go to, if you could shop through our affiliate link that is network-wide, so that would be jayandjack.com/Amazon. It'll redirect you to an Amazon page, all lowercase letters. Jack has put his wife, who was our main benefactor of the Amazon money, he has put her on a timeout for the month. So we need somebody to pick up where Cindy cannot and start spending money through the Amazon link, please.
The gauntlet's been thrown.
It's been thrown. I heard that they're doing, again, I don't know this for sure, but I heard that they're doing $30 off the Amazon Echo, a.k.a. Alexa. I think they're doing it off of the one with the TV screen like we have. So if you are interested in an Alexa, you could do that through the link. And save, I think it's $30. Again, this is unconfirmed, but you might want to look into it. So
it's a good enough deal. It's worth having a gander.
Yeah.
And research.
Alexa's pretty awesome, especially if you have children, because I just say every morning while Zachary's eating his cereal, Alexa, play the Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood soundtrack. And Alexa plays the Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood soundtrack. And it is roughly like 15 minutes long, which is roughly enough time for me to get dressed and brush my teeth and then go out and check on him when it's over and then be like, Mommy's putting her jewelry on, get your shoes on. And that's our morning routine. It works out really great. I'm just saying,
Sounds good. You can
find a similar routine. We also have dance parties with Alexa. We actually do. We'll take turns playing songs, and the three of us will dance in the kitchen to Alexa.
That sounds great.
It actually is really fun. Maybe we can have a dance party in May. Everybody, first weekend in May, start saving up for the podcast weekend.
Bring my dancing shoes.
Woohoo!
All right.
Yeah, and I think that about does it for us for this week. Again, thank you for listening. Everybody go out there and enjoy your five fingers. And other things. All right. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
All right, peace out, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.